As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Ham fat is going on with you guys.
Good stuff. There are many, many positives I can get out of this game.
This is an old-fashioned ass kicking right here.
9 to noon.
You were gonna bet, and we'll go out there. I'll kick you in the nuts, and we'll call it a day.
9 to noon.
I thought our little wild time had just begun.
Florio,
what's going on there, Michael? I
guess you. What's up, Paul? How are you, man?
Pretty good. You got any steam? Any leads on the next Minnesota Vikings GM or coach?
And, nope.
And good morning.
Nope, I don't.
You got no steam? Why?
Does anyone? Do you know? Yeah. You're the one that does the play-by-play. I should be asking you. Do you have any steam? Do you know? Nobody knows. They're doing the interviews. They're keeping their cards close to the vest, like every team that's currently searching for a coach and a GM. Any reporting that someone's a leader or something like that, I'm always suspicious that someone's agent is pushing that to the reporter to get them to say it, to create a self-fulfilling prophecy. So this is a time of the year where we just kind of sit back and we wait for the smoke to rise from the chimney, a la the election of a new pope.
Agreed.
PFT.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC's Football Night in America. Any, Michael, any of these general manager or coaching names that are being bandied about, and any blow you away for any reason?
Well, here's what blows me away. This is what surprises me, and I don't understand it, and I've yet to have anyone explain it to me. Not that I've been knocking on doors and asking people for an explanation, but I don't know that there is one. You've got plenty of guys out there who have been general managers in the past, who have done a decent job. A Thomas Dimitroff, for example. Jerry Reese won a couple of Super Bowls with the Giants. Rick Smith did a good job in Houston. Scott Pioli was a multiple-time executive of the year with the Patriots. These guys are out there with experience as general managers, and none of them have even gotten an interview.
Right.
That is what's weird to me. You're entrusting your football operation to somebody who's never run a football operation before. One theory is that there are executives within various organizations that are threatened by a general manager who has experience running a program because everyone wants to protect their turf, everyone wants to have their little fiefdom, everyone wants their influence to be at a certain level. So if, for example, you bring in a general manager who's kind of an up-and-comer, that person may be more likely to be grateful to an executive who isn't really part of the football operation, but who, wink, wink, nod, nod, helped the GM get the job, as opposed to having an experienced GM come in and take over and start changing things and telling people to sit down and shut up and stay out of football affairs and whatever else they may not want to hear. That's one theory. The other theory is, and Peter King had this idea, that when you interview for a GM gig, if you have a track record, you're going to have warts. And how do you explain away the first round pick that was wasted on this guy or the free agent signing that went off the rails? And my answer to that is everybody has warts. You're always going to have draft picks that didn't work out. You're always going to have free agents that didn't work out. So I don't know why that's an issue. And but maybe the best way to position yourself to be a GM is to have a batting average of zero because you've got zero at bats.
Now,
football feast.
Speaking of New England, there's an executive with the Tennessee Titans named Monty Ossenford, and I'm sure you're familiar with
Monty
him.
With an I.
Yeah, he's a Laverne, Minnesota native, University of Minnesota Morris. Not that that matters at the end of the equation, but he spent many years in the New England Patriots organization. So yeah, I've been excited to ask you this for a few days because I think it's tricky. When it comes to pulling people who are or have worked with the Patriots in an iconoclastic situation led by Belichick, how do you analyze that?
It's tricky, as you said. And here's the problem. The people who have worked with Bill Belichick, who have witnessed Bill Belichick, who have absorbed through osmosis the way that Belichick is, when they leave, they can say all they want that they're different from Belichick, that they'll do things their own way, that they won't be like Bill. They are, at a certain level, just like him. And where it becomes a challenge, and this applies more to coaches, but it also applies to front office personnel as well. If you don't win right away, you got a problem, because the Patriot way, if you operate the Patriot way, you're going to piss people off inside the building. You're going to piss people off among the group of reporters that cover your team. You're going to alienate people because it's all about winning and it's all about protecting secrets and it's all about being very focused and determined and driven and motivated and not necessarily warm and fuzzy and friendly. Look at what happened to Brian Flores.
Right.
In 3 years in Miami, relationships. He had issues with relationships. Well, the only relationship that matters is the relationship with winning. And that's the challenge. Matt Patricia in Detroit comes in, dramatically changes the way things are done. There's resistance. People don't want that attitude unless it's successful right away. So that's the challenge. So, you know, a guy like Amani Austin Ford, if he's got some of that Belichick DNA, even if he doesn't think that he does, that's the kind of thing that could be problematic. Look, I'm a firm believer that if the Wolves aren't going to live in Minnesota and aren't going to show up at that awesome facility every day, they need someone there to run the show with a strong personality. Now, the problem is it may be someone that everyone hates. And I'm not saying Monty Austin for it. I'm just saying that's part of the risk. You give the keys to somebody that is so driven and so motivated that everything gets disrupted. But you know what, Paul? The problem is sometimes things do need to get disrupted. Sometimes you do need someone who's a jerk, who is demanding, who wants everything to be at a certain level, because it's easy to be mediocre. It's hard to be exceptional. And, you know, I've come to the conclusion in recent days that, you know, and this is more of a coaching thing, there's a handful of great coaches in the NFL and then there's everybody else. And to make yourself a great coach, you've got to be very driven. You've got to be somebody who works every waking moment. You've got to be somebody who's looking for every possible edge that you can incorporate into your approaches, and the same thing applies in the front office.
Now, Philadelphia Eagles Director of Football Operations, Catherine Raichy, she interviewed here. I love that, even if it doesn't work out, from an ideas opening standpoint and getting just a completely different perspective from a different generation and somebody from a different team. What do you think?
Well, I think it's great, and I think to the extent that the Wolves are using this opportunity, and it is a rare opportunity, look how long it's been that Rick Spielman was basically in charge of the football operation. This is a chance to talk to many different people, finding the best person to take over the football operation while also picking brains legitimately. Not, this isn't the old Al Davis way where he knew damn well who he was going to hire, but he interviewed everyone he could so he could pick their brains so he'd be better suited to facing the team that candidate works for in the future. There isn't a nefarious motivation here. This is about learning as much as you can about your football operation, how you want it to run, how you want it to operate, how you want it to behave, and you're gathering that information. And the more information you gather, what happens is, because we all ultimately are driven by an instinctive feel, a visceral level of what the right thing to do is. But, you know, that feeling is going to come no matter what. The challenge is gather as much information from as many people, talk to as many people as you can, and then when that feeling bubbles up, it's more reliable because you factored so many more individuals and personalities and approaches into your final decision making.
Hey,
PFT.
Did Mayock get a raw deal in Las Vegas in any way?
Well, he got a raw deal on the way out. Yeah. I think it was wrong and poor form for Mark Davis to allow word to get out that they were requesting permission to interview executives from other teams before announcing that Mayock was out. And people push back and say, well, Mayock surely knew that he was being fired. I don't know who I'm doing there, but you know that. Mayock surely knew he was being being fired. I don't care. The world didn't know. We spent an hour of real time on Monday on PFTPM with the show beginning with the news that the Raiders wanted to talk to Dave Ziegler of the Patriots and Ed Dawes of the Colts, and Mike Golic and I spent an hour trying to figure out why in the hell that's happening when they haven't fired Mike Mayock. And at the end of the show, they fired Mike Mayock. That's just bad look. It's bad form. And if you can't be trusted as an owner to handle the little things, the easy things, the slam dunks properly, you can't be trusted to handle the big things. And that's been another one of my big theories over the past couple of weeks. Whether it's the billionaire oligarch who buys a football team as basically, you know, a different type of super yacht and doesn't quite understand how much people deeply care about whether or not that yacht can go out and win races. Then you've got the right place at the right time, DNA match son of an owner who just has the franchise land in his lap when his dad dies. Really, what qualifications does Mark Davis have to hire a coach, right, to hire a GM, to make football decisions? And what can Raiders fans do other than accept it? It's not like they can start a petition for Mark Davis to sell the team. He ain't selling the team. They just have to deal with it. And that doesn't mean it's going to be a good product or good decisions. And I think that the way that the Mayock firing was bungled is a warning to all Raiders fans that there's a good chance Mark Davis is going to screw this up.
Doesn't seem like Super Bowl winning coach Doug Peterson, formerly of the Eagles, is getting any play, correct?
I mean, I've heard his name pop up a few times, but again, I'm very leery about this period of the news cycle. Because I've been doing this 20 years, and I see when reporters who are ambitious and hungry get manipulated. And so, you know, when you see a tweet from someone, I'm not going to name names, but, you know, Doug Peterson in demand, or, you know, oh, this guy's in demand. I never really know where that's coming from, because the teams aren't going to come out and say that. We really like this candidate. Boy, a lot of teams are going to want to hire this guy. We'll go ahead and let the world know that so we can minimize our chances of getting him. So I don't know what's going on with Peterson. His name came up early a few times, but it sure sounds like the focus now seems to be on the people who are currently employed by other teams. And it's like the people who are just kind of available are out there. And I don't know why you wouldn't take a serious look at Doug Peterson. I don't know why you wouldn't want to go all the way down the rabbit hole as to why it didn't work out for him in Philadelphia. There's a lot of due diligence to be done there to find out why he got fired. You know, maybe he shouldn't have gotten fired, just like Brian Flores in Miami. He shouldn't have gotten fired. So you got a Super Bowl winning coach who's available, and I'd like to think that with 25% of the league looking for a new coach, they would at least kick around the possibility of hiring a guy who's shown he can do it. See, with coordinators, you're making the projection that someone who has never been a coach, a head coach, will have the skills to be a head coach. With the former coaches who are out there, like Flores and Peterson, who are viable candidates this time around, they've already shown they can do it. Even a Rich Bisaccia. Like, why aren't other teams interviewing Rich Bisaccia? He showed under extreme duress and adversity that he could bring a team together, and those players are on the record. They want him. How is that not getting him in an interview? Why are the Vikings not talking to him? Why are the Bears not talking to him? It's weird to me that Bisaccia hasn't done, regardless of whether or not Mark Davis screws this up and doesn't keep him, which I think Mark Davis is going to do, why aren't these other teams saying, let's bring Bisaccia in and talk to him? Because he's shown he can do it. He's proven he can do it. You're not making a projection anymore. He had 3 months on the job, and he took his team to the playoffs and almost beat the Bengals.
Now with Doug Peterson and reports, I mean, if what Schefter said on that Philadelphia radio station near the end of the 2020 is accurate, then I need to know exactly why, whether it's from...
Schefter's getting his version from Howie Roseman, though. This is inside baseball stuff, or inside football, as the case may be.
Okay.
Schefter's getting his info from Howie Roseman,
right,
so he's going to get Roseman's version of it.
But truly, if a head coach did not have conversations with his starting quarterback for a month and a half,
think how
2 months,
that is on the surface. I remember at the time when he said that, saying that's a ridiculous proposition and it's reckless to put that out there. Of course, they had conversations. So, but what happens is, and, you know, I'm committed to the truth, and I'm committed to providing the audience with the truth. What happens is, and the soul gets sold one tweet at a time. folks like Shefty who want to always be in a position to get the 5-minute heads up before the announcement goes out that something is going to happen. Because really, think about it. 98% or more of what we get from Shefty or some of the others of that ilk is a heads up 5 minutes before the official announcement. Well, you got to be in position to be the one who's chosen to get the 5-minute heads up. And what's the way to do it? One way to do it is not piss anybody off ever. And the other way to do it is do favors for people. Push their narrative at a time when they want their narrative to be pushed. And that's what he was doing. I guarantee you that's what he was doing. He was pushing Howie's narrative at a time when they were trying to justify firing a coach who had won a Super Bowl just 3 years earlier.
Tricky matchup for the Packers because of the way next level Kyle Shanahan runs unpredictable offense. But end of the equation, Green Bay will find a way to win, right?
Well, I think so. But, you know, it's funny. We were talking about this on PFT Live today. There was a time when the Packers were unbeatable at Lambeau Field in the postseason. Mike Vick burst that bubble, if you recall, when the Packers went there and upended or when the Falcons, excuse me, went there and upended the Packers. Mm-hmm. And then there was the Randy Moss rubbing his butt on the goalpost game, a couple of losses to the Giants. And they're not as unbeatable at Lambeau in the playoffs as they used to be. I don't know why that's the case, and I would be concerned about the 49ers. But when all else fails, look at the two quarterbacks, Jimmy Garoppolo and Aaron Rodgers. Even though the Packers stepped into a buzzsaw 2 years ago in the NFC Championship, Aaron Rodgers, I don't think at this point in his career, is going to lose to Jimmy Garoppolo at home, but I still got some more time to go back and forth on who I'm going to pick in that one.
So lastly, if you go quarterback, then, I mean, despite how the Rams looked the other evening and Arizona looked terrible, but Brady, Stafford, Brady, I mean, that one's over then, right?
Well, yeah, but Brady's got to be able to operate. That's the thing. We get caught up in quarterback versus quarterback, and I just did, so I'm as guilty of it as anyone. But Brady's got Aaron Donald in his face and Von Miller and Leonard Floyd coming around the edges, and Brady makes his decisions. And he's been this way for years now. It's not some new revelation that he decides where he's going to throw the football before he even gets the ball. Duh, he's been doing it for 5 years. He reached a point 10 years ago where his experience put him in a mode where he can diagnose the defense and figure out who's going to be open before he has the ball. And he still has the physical skills to do it 10 years later, where he's got even more experience. He said after the Super Bowl win over the Falcons 5 years ago that you can't show me anything that I haven't already seen. So that's the challenge, is getting to him before he can get rid of the football to the guy that he knows is going to be open. But I find it hard to believe, even with the defense that isn't as good as it was last year, an offense that has some key injuries, you still got Tom Brady, and there's something about performing with that pressure of the season on your shoulders. This is new territory for Matthew Stafford, and it's old hat for Tom Brady.
That was awesome. Thank you. Call you next week.
Bye.
Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, Paul Allen, 651 Carpet Studio. TimberTech, TimberTech.com with the What's on Deck 9 to noon. Eric Nordquist produces. Eric Nordquist offers the cash thing as we say good morning.
Good morning. The fans trying to put a grand in your hand every hour. A new opportunity to win $1,000 with the National Cash Contest. This hour's keyword is hope. You're hoping our favorite football team finds the right hires. You're also hoping you might win $1,000 on a Wednesday by going to KFAN.com and using the keyword hope. Keyword is hope. Just go to KFAN.com, enter it. I hope you win, and if you want to give a couple of bucks to 9 to noon, we'd appreciate it.
iHeartRadio app.
Programming on the Fan brought to you in part by Quick Trip.
So I can't get around it.
So low, you can't so get under it. Get
up so high, you can't get over
so
it.
High, can't get over it.
This is a chance. This is a chance to dance your way. Out of work instructions. How? Dale shook him.
Here's a chance to dance our way.
So Buffalo killed KC during the season.
Yeah.
I think it was like October 10th.
Yeah. I mean, they beat the bejesus out of them.
I mean, they caught KC at a really good time.
Yeah.
Now, Buffalo beats not a bad quarterback, but an overmatched quarterback in that situation in Mac Jones. And Kansas City rolls over old Ben. you know, but like Tampa Bay crushes an overmatched Philly team. So you see Tampa Bay in Kansas City past champs. When they put the pedal to the metal, that's what it looks like. And man, was it impressive. And I'm struggling with trying to find ways to beat those teams. What about you?
I like Buffalo plus 2.5, and I like the over, obviously. I think it's a big number, but I like that number.
Yeah.
And I like the Bengals +2.5 as well.
Corey, you loudly touted the Rams and you got the money. You like anything this weekend?
I like Sauce to complain about the weather at Lambeau Field.
Oh yeah, I'm going
in a suite with an enclosed suite, nonetheless.
Yeah,
where you just really get the feel for football Americana in an enclosed suite.
I'll tailgate.
Yep. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
At Kroll's West, right?
Probably. Yeah. I can't wait.
That's Saucy. That's Corey Cove. 2/3 of the Power Trip Morning Show. I'm Paul Allen. He's Nordo, and this is Stump the Snob.
It's time to Stump the Snob on 9 to noon.
Yes, weekly sports trivia, the self-proclaimed sports snob. He is the host of 9 to noon, thinks he knows it all. And competing with him in sports trivia this morning, Corey Cove meets us, Paul Lambert, Power Trip Morning Show. You guys have a sheet in front of you with categories on it. Categories and Hail Mary-related questions are next segment, but first...
kicking them off.
I got three lists with a bunch of answers associated with said lists. They... correct answers are worth 1 point apiece. We go round and round we go. If you're incorrect, you're out for the remainder of that list. We add up all the points and we decide if someone knows something about sports or not. The first list, gentlemen, from the 84 season through the 96 season. So from 84 through 96, the NFC won 13 consecutive Super Bowls, which is the longest streak in the Super Bowl era. 13 different franchises, win or lose, played in those games. Name them.
All NFC.
Win or lose.
Win or lose.
Played in the game. Got so it. There was there were some AFC opponents as well.
Okay, Dallas Cowboys.
That is correct. 92, 93, 95, victorious.
Gotta go, gotta throw.
The Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, they played in 4 of them, lost all of them. You, Saucy.
The 49ers.
That's correct. They won 4 titles during that time.
New England Patriots.
They lost 2 titles during that time. That's correct.
The New York Football Giants.
Parcells. They won a couple Super Bowls.
Good job there.
The Pack.
Yes, they won in 96.
Miami Dolphins.
That's correct. They lost in 84.
The 85 Bears.
Yep. Correct.
The Chargers got smoked by the 49ers 1 year.
In 94, that's right.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Damn it, that was the last one I had on my list.
Yeah, they lost in 88, that's right.
John Candy, though.
Let's go.
Remember? Montana made eye contact with him right before the game when he touched down.
Yeah.
Immortality story.
3-2.
3.
Let's try the... Denver Broncos.
Hey.
Oh, are you? Come on, man. Yeah, Elway lost 3 Super Bowls during that time.
Mecklenburg, Bo.
Let's try them.
Well, I wasn't sure. I knew the two teams, that they won.
2 teams remain, Saucy. Hey. 3.
Let's try
2.
The Seahawks.
1.
The Washington Redskins.
That is correct. They won 2 titles during that time. To you, Corey.
Kansas City.
PA, 1 remains. Who is it?
Bears?
Mm-hmm. Those were already good. The Steelers.
Oh.
Bill Cowher lost to Switzer's Cowboys.
Yes.
In the 95 season. PA in the lead with 5. Corey with 4. Saucy with 3. A couple more lists to go. Starting with you, Corey. Jonathan Taylor led the NFL in rushing this year with 1,811 rushing yards. There are 18 guys in the history of the NFL that have had a season with more rushing yards than Jonathan Taylor.
1,800 plus? 18 what now? 1,811 or something you said?
More than Jonathan Taylor's 1,811, yes.
1,811, okay.
18 guys, history of NFL, have had a season with more than that.
Let's start with one of the classiest guys to ever walk the face of the earth. He was an absolute delight. He was a terrific actor. He killed two people. O.J. Simpson.
That is correct.
I thought you were going
He actually did
road.
It.
So did I thought you were going to go down this road.
Yeah.
He did it twice. Yeah. That is correct.
Dyslexic
you're up to five.
Paul Allen fans.
Saucy.
AP.
Yeah.
Yes, second all time, 2097.
Jamal Lewis.
Jamal Lewis, third all time, 2066.
CJ2K, Chris Johnson.
How about that?
Good one.
2,006 yards. To you, Saucy.
Sean Alexander.
Yep, did it in 2005, that's right.
Oh, man, I can't read my writing. What's happening here?
Three, two, one.
Edger and James.
I thought he did it, didn't he?
I don't know. I just
But he
guessed.
Did not do it. He did not do it.
I can't read my writing. this
See
is
you,
ridiculous.
Corey.
Didn't Derrick Henry just do it?
I did it last year.
Yeah, that's what
that
I mean.
Correct,
last year.
Yes.
Damn it.
Priest Holmes.
God, what do you guys keep sniping me?
Okay.
Priest Holmes didn't?
I had him on my list, too.
Well, he got into the end zone a lot, but...
Hey.
It's just you, Cor.
Hey.
Oh, man.
Chester Taylor didn't do it? I mean, Priest Holmes had a couple of good seasons.
Priest Holmes was like one of the best running backs in the league.
Three.
In touchdowns.
Three.
For a couple years.
Three.
You, Corey.
Three. Marshall Faulk.
Two. One.
Eric Dickerson. Damn it.
Dickerson.
Yes.
Barry Sanders.
Oh, how did nobody say that?
Terrell Davis. You guys hate history. Earl Campbell. Amon Green. What?
What?
And the Priest Holmes idea plays now. Sorry about that. The Amon Green thing blows my mind. Jim Brown, Tiki Barber, Ricky Williams.
How did nobody say Jim Brown?
Walter Payton, Jamal Anderson, DeMarco Murray, and LaDainian Tomlinson all did it. Okay, well, let's try again. Okay, final list. Corey and Lee with 7, PA with 6, Saucy with 5. Cooper Kupp. Let me see here. Had nearly 2,000 yards receiving this year. There are 14 other players in the history of the NFL that had at least 1,618 receiving yards. The reason I picked that is it's all more than what Justin Jefferson had this year.
Okay.
So other than Cooper Kupp this year with nearly 2,000 yards, there are 14 other players that had more receiving yards in a season than Justin Jefferson. Starting with you, Saucy.
Megatron.
That is correct. Most all time.
Randy Moss.
Randy Moss, where art thou? That is correct. Bryce. Jerry. That is correct.
I'll go with...
Three.
Man, Steve Largent.
Two.
No idea.
That's awesome. Let's try Devontae.
Where is he in this?
Peter boy. Got a boy. Oh, screw you and your dumbass team.
Let me verify. I did this on Pro Football Reference. I thought Devontae had like an 1,800-yard season. Why am I missing this here? Ba-ba-ba. Verification taking place. No, his most was this season, 1553.
Thank you.
To you, Corey.
T.O.? We did really well.
That is not correct. We're going to have to pick better lists next time.
What about Sterling Sharp?
Julio Jones. Yeah, Sterling wasn't on this list.
Andre Johnson?
Andre's what?
Antonio Brown did it twice.
Oh, Chad Beebe.
Isaac Bruce.
Andre Allison?
You guys were all...
Brilliant.
Jerry is right.
What about Greg Childs?
You guys were big Charlie Hennigan fans from 1961. Michael Thomas, Marvin Harrison, Torrey Holt, Herman Moore.
Ron Johnson.
Josh Gordon.
Ron who?
Jimmy Smith.
Ron's what?
And the late Demaryius Thomas. All had it. Okay, well, we'll have better lists next week, I guess.
Better list? That was tough as bleep. That was good.
PA in the, well, PA in second place. Corey with 8. PA with 7. Saucy with 6. When we return, categories, higher point value Hail Mary questions. It is Stump the Snob Sports Trivia. You're listening to 9 to Noon.
KFAN. Stump the Snob.
Welcome back, Sports Trivia 9 to noon, weekly, Wednesdays. Meat Sauce Paul Lambert, Corey Cove, roll on in studio. They try to compete with the self-proclaimed sports snob. That is the host of 9 to noon, Paul Allen. And to be honest with you, in most cases, Corey wins. But next, it's time for...
Categories.
Following last segment, Corey Cove in the lead with 8 points. PA with 7. Saucy with 6. The categories. You guys got the sheets in front of you, 4 categories, yep. 4 questions apiece in ascending point value. The categories are as follows: wild cards, strongly disliked. That's subjective.
Button bar, damn it.
Other than Ben, these are guys who started for the Steelers other than Big Ben during his tenure. And jersey chasers. Not just Meat Sauce Paul Lambert, but top-selling NFL jerseys last month. Corey, you're in the lead. Where do we head first?
So other than Ben, for one.
Okay, the Cove.
All right, and for those listening or watching for the first time, everyone has an opportunity to ring in, get the points. They're out for the remainder of the question. If they're incorrect, they snag the points if they are so lucky. All right, other than Ben, for one. He went to Marshall. Now he's in... Yes.
Chad Pennington.
Corey. Corey was next.
Byron Leftwich.
That's right.
Oh, good one, man.
Zap me.
Ben for two.
I wondered if the Marshall bit would get somebody right away.
That was good. Zap me right between the eyes.
Second round pick by the Lions. Yes.
Charlie Biatch.
That's right.
Yeah, good one.
Three.
Would you accept that in initials if he said Charlie Biatch?
I gave Carly gold ticket last week, so at this
depends
point,
depends on who says it. If I say it, no. If anyone else says it, he'd accept it.
That is
somebody's moody.
Well, I'm not moody.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that philosophy. Other than Ben, 4 or 3?
Yeah.
His first name is the last name of the legendary Cowboys coach.
Paul.
Yes.
Landry Jones.
That's right.
Oh, ooh, dude.
4.
PA in the lead with 12, Corey with 9, Saucy with 6. His nickname is Duck. What's his real name?
Paul?
Yes.
Mason Rudolph?
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Damn it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
His nickname is Duck.
I know who you're talking about. Oh,
what's his real name?
1 game.
3. He started 6 games, actually.
Really?
3, 2, 1.
Is it that Devlin bit?
Devlin Hodges.
Oh, good one.
That's Devlin Hodges in 2019.
Damn it. Let's go with, I'm just going to say strongly disliked for one without a side joke.
All right, perfect. PA with 12, Corey with 9, Saucy with 6, strongly disliked for one. This guy talked trash but backed it up. Known to us for rowing the boat one time.
Steve Smith.
That's right.
Two.
This defensive player developed a track record for ending the seasons of Patriots playmakers.
Dude.
Paul?
Paul. Paul after him.
Saucy.
LT?
Ed Reed?
3.
3.
The calculated
2.
One.
Zach Thomas.
1.
So Bernard Pollard ended Brady's season in 08. Oh. He ended Wes Welker's season in 09 because he tried to tackle him and Welker avoided it, tore his ACL.
My God.
He forced Gronk into a high ankle sprain in this time. Like, there's this it's 4 or 5 different injuries because of Bernard Pollard. Anyway.
For three.
His demeanor reeked of apathy. But the QB managed to... Yes.
Jay Cutler?
That's right.
I don't know what those words mean.
Was it apathy that did it for
you? All of them. Reeked. I don't know what that means
disliked
either.
Disliked for...
Big smile. Big arm. Stupid hat. Yes.
Oh, damn it. John Elway. So stupid.
Big smile. Big arm. Stupid hats during pressers. This big person... Saucy first.
Is it Cam Newton?
No. That's right.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Clinton Portis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Where are we headed next?
Jersey Boston. Chasers won.
All right, PA in the lead with 15. Saucy up to 11. Corey with 9. Jersey Chasers for 1. His number 8 jersey was 8th most popular for his 8-win team in the AFC North.
Paul. Oh.
Yes.
Lamar Jackson.
That's right.
1.
No, you mean 2.
2. Sorry, Daddy.
He had 1 catch for 18 yards in the win over Dallas this weekend, but his 85 jersey
Paul.
Was it. Saucy first.
That would be CeeDee Lamb.
George Kittle.
Damn it.
That's right.
Good one. Good one. Good one.
Jersey Chasers, Trey.
Yeah, CeeDee can't win over his own team.
Oh, I didn't. Sorry, wasn't listening.
Chris Finch, Wolves, 12 minutes.
All right, PA with 17, Saucy with 12, Corey with 9. Dak Prescott was 2nd on the list. Which one
Paul.
Of his team? Yes.
Oh,
Paul.
CeeDee Lamb.
That's right.
Yeah, good one.
I caught the team as a teammate. Let's go to Wild Cards 1.
Oh, you're switching it up.
Oh, wait. We have a 4 left?
Yeah.
I'll do the 4.
He's the only defensive player in the top 10.
Paul.
For, yes.
Micah Parsons.
Paul.
Yes.
TJ Watt.
That's right.
Nice job.
Wow.
Damn, it was 1 of 2, man. Nice job.
Thank Saucy you. Stays in it by just getting the man, 4-point question.
I've gotten 8 points off that. Wild Cards 1.
We're bringing the acumen today, boys.
I don't know what that means.
Final category. Wild Cards.
Acumen. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Nobody saw this guy going for 142 total yards and a touchdown in a blowout over the Steelers, but he did.
Paul.
Yes.
Jerick McKinnon.
That's right.
Oh, good one, PA.
2.
All right, PA with 21, Saucy with 16, Corey still with 9.
Wow. The favorite downtrodden.
He only played...
apathy.
I don't know what that means.
3.
He only played 19 snaps on defense, but pretty impressive for a 37-year-old.
Corey.
Off the, yes.
Eric Weddle.
That's right.
Oh, great. Trash talk the favorite. Here he comes.
He's locked in now.
Yeah, he sucks.
We'll see.
For 3. They came to see Diggs, but this guy led the team
Ball.
In... Ooh.
He got it.
I think it was Saucy first.
He got it.
Is it Davis?
No, Dawson Knox.
That's right.
That was my other guess. Good one, PA.
PA in the lead with 14.
What number's
or
next?
Or 24, excuse 4. Me.
What is 4?
Yeah.
Yep, last one.
Yeah.
Last question.
Yeah, yeah, please.
No Leonard Fournette, so this guy led the Bucks
Ball.
In Ooh.
You can have it. I got no idea.
Saucy.
Vaughn.
Give it to him.
That's right.
Keyshawn
Bizzle.
I got 3 of the 4.
No one cares.
PA in the lead with 24. Saucy behind him with 20. Corey in the rear with 11.
Don Cheadle.
Now it is time for...
Hail Mary.
I got 3 questions for you, gentlemen. Worth 6, 7, and 8 points, respectively. 5
Favorite.
Initials like clues.
Favorite. Apathy.
Use your name as your buzzer. Everybody's still very much in the mix here. The 6-point question is as follows. Played football at Hofstra, but he's not Marcus Colston. Defensive-minded coach.
Mm.
Has been a head coach before.
Paul. He got
Ooh, it. Saucy was first.
Todd Bowles.
Oh.
Has been a head coach before, but he wishes his owner got him Tom Brady like they did for Arians.
Gee. Corey.
Yes.
3. Raheem Morris.
That's right.
Wow.
Good one, Corey.
All right, back in it, up to 17 points. The 7-point question is as follows. 10th round draft pick as a safety in 1981. Tough to tell whether his accent is from his Boston College days or his Philly roots. Had 1 kick return for 9 yards in the NFL. Those that can't do, analyze.
Paul.
Yes.
Mike Mayock?
That's right.
Good one.
Really
wow.
good. Really good.
And PA.
Boston College, though.
PA has secured himself a victory.
Nice job.
With 31
yeah.
points.
Yeah, I think the host has won 2 in a row. Weird.
For the hell of it, here's the 8-point question.
I love when
here we go.
I love when DraftKings loses money every day because then the favorite doesn't pay attention.
Well, you gotta hold on to that. Okay?
I had a good day yesterday.
Yeah, DraftKings is down 22%, Corey.
It's
buy the
way
dip,
more
then.
Than that, Lily.
Yeah, well, you're supposed to
that.
See you're apoplectic right now because
I don't know what
the
that
bid
means.
Is, yeah, I just bought
no,
more.
You keep buying the dip. No, I bought it last week.
You
gotta
the
buy
what?
The dip.
Dip. You buy the dip.
Oh, Zach almost kicked the door in.
No, if you believe in a stock, you don't panic when it goes down. Yeah. Right? Warren Buffett says when they're buying, I'm selling.
Yeah, well, when that sucker gets down to 9, you go ahead and keep buying. you can run that buy right through me.
Trust the process.
Yes, sir.
All right, PA is victorious with 31, Saucy with 20, Corey with 17. 8-point question for the bleep of it. Here we go. Has 7 rushing touchdowns in his last 5 games, including this weekend, after just 2 in his first... Yes.
Jade Cush.
Ooh. All right.
Sauce right to his phone.
Not yet. Leads his team in rushing, but splits carries with another back and his quarterback.
The best. The best.
Has 2,300 rushing yards and 11 scores in 3 NFL seasons. Had 1,900 yards rushing and 32 touchdowns in 2017 at Florida Atlantic alone.
Oh.
He was a third-round pick in 2019.
Ooh. It's hard.
This AFC contender needed someone to replace the aging LeSean McCoy.
Paul. I don't know his name.
Corey.
Thurman Thomas.
Paul. It's,
yes.
Is it Boston Scott?
No, it's Richard Dawson, not Dawkins.
It's hard. One's an evolutionary biologist. One of them kissed every woman in the 1970s.
Yes, he's back. Corey's back.
I love both. I love evolution and I love game shows. So Dawson's and Dawkins, two of my favorites.
Devin Singletary was the name.
Devin Singletary.
Celebrating the boys' 21st in the 702 this weekend.
Hell yeah, that's the best.
If the spirit of any kind moves you over the weekend, boys, make sure you give me a text, okay?
Have fun.
Corey Cove, Meat Sauce, Eric Nordquist with excellent work on that game. Love that. Every Wednesday at 9:15. Thank you, Saucy. Thank you, Corey Cove. And to Chris Finch, coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, joins 9 to noon weekly. A spine-tingling, dramatic victory from the hands of Cat last night at MSG. We'll chat that and more when KFAN's 9 to noon production continues.